Yeah, this is the Sample Access Podcast. My name is Nelson, and you're welcome to the best podcast in the land. Yes, I said it. You know what we do on the Sample Access Podcast? We talk about songs, how they were sampled, the sampled songs, the songs that sampled these songs, like that. And we play the songs and we compare, contrast. We see which one is. We don't actually check which one is better or no. We just
we don't care.
We just play. We just want to timeline.
The mathematics of
How long? Sometimes because some of these records, we see them 20 years apart, 40 years apart. I mean, I've seen 50 years apart. I know we're going to do a particular episode where we're going to do 20, then 40 years.
It's a competition of what's the longest.
Longest record being beaten or a bite of a record from
that,
one time.
That would be. And we also try to educate ourselves on, you know, refresh our memories on
songs, artists,
discographies, you know, all these old songs, because like the music climate generally
changes all the time.
The volume of music in the industry at any point in time is just way too much. New Music Friday is always crazy. You just look at the list and you are seeing like maybe like 15 new artists that at least documented. There are some underground artists that you don't even know that it dropped, but every Friday there's new music. Talk about the A-listers, the B-listers. At least once a month you have A or B-listers dropping out.
Right now we have A, B, C, D sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was one list one time, I don't know whether you saw that list. They, like, they drew up a list of A-list artists, B-list artists, C-list, D-list. Mm-hmm. It was like a whole compilation. Like, the list of artists were like close to like 300. I remember the D-list artists had about 100.
Are we talking Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria. No, no jokes, Nigeria. It was out at some point. I'm sure talking 2-3 years ago.
We can go on to like, maybe the list would be F list artists. Let's not use F. F is a bad, bad word.
Too much.
Let's use G. Let's say G list. Yeah. G list is the longest.
G would be standing for what? Boy just on the come up.
Yeah, G list is the longest. Check any hood.
That's true.
Somebody recording.
Yeah, I want to agree with that.
I was just trying to drive at the fact that, I mean, you cannot exhaust all there is out there. So, there is music, there is new music everywhere. Someone mentioned at some point, I think it was Tiwa Savage album, Celia, that people didn't give it as much attention as it should get. And I kind of felt like, well, it's the climate we're in. If you don't do well in your first 2 weeks, it's easy for the wave to just move you away because there's new stuff coming. So your first 2 weeks, your first 1 month, 2 months is your prime time. People listen, people are tuning at that time. You do the charts that you want to do, then you can plan your tour, blah blah blah. Because I mean, there's another artist that wants to take some shine much later. As big as Twice as Tall album was, we vibed the first month. The energy we had the first 2 weeks is not the same we have now. Is that my point?
I think it's normal because you said it, the music industry is so much coming in now. Every Friday is an out. Like, for example, I've just said about the new album that is out. Olamide, Kappa DM. I'm already hearing a lot of good reviews. Good views. Everybody's talking something great about the album. Yeah. And that just shows, like, I mean, 1 month ago, we didn't know, like, Olamide was even working on anything.
And, I mean, last year, he dropped 999.
Last year? Is this year now?
Are you for real?
999 is this year now.
And then he did. Maybe it was, I think it was short-lived. Generally, albums nowadays are short-lived. I was talking about Twice as Tall. What I feel is still keeping Twice as Tall out here is because, of course, Burna Boy.
Yeah.
This is perhaps,
Burna Boy is currently African Giant.
Yeah, African Giant. And then he keeps coming, like, I think he has videos in our faces. Wonderful Video has been out. Monsters You Made has been out.
That Monsters You Made album, that video, I don't know. I don't really like the video.
It's not the best it could be, but we got the message.
I don't really like the video.
Maybe you don't, but I don't.
I love Burna Boy.
You. I don't have a problem. Major problem with the video. Maybe in terms of quality.
Big ups. Quality up there. But I just feel like
I know it's not the best it could be.
There's something it could have been.
It could be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be able to relate to your point, when I listen to the audio of Monsters You Made, the feeling you get from the audio of Monsters You Made is not the energy you get on the video.
Exactly.
The energy kind of doesn't match.
I don't want to take it away from the creatives, because big ups to the creatives. It's a lot of work. Those guys are amazing.
And they tried their best to depict the situation.
I know a couple of them that are in that video industry, especially those guys that did it. I don't want to call names, but they know themselves. You guys know yourself if you are listening. And you guys, they are doing good. But I just felt like, I don't know, there was this maybe because something I was too missing. I was expectant. I just knew.
Yeah,
I,
the song was too big something. For that video, in my view.
Yeah, yeah.
The song is a
we
big.
Need a video that would slap, a video that would be that would turn to be like a movement.
Yeah, yeah.
That was what we needed.
But is that a new thing? Sometimes it's not easy to match videos with audios.
No, let's quickly talk about this thing before we get into people we have on today. The very first list that we have. One of the reasons why we're talking about wide range of artists, a lot of artists, so that people don't think we're just, you know, vibing. Going up and down, just vibing. No, it's because we're getting through to Skybee. You know, Skybee's one of those artists that came up one time, was really big, and all of a sudden, poof, puff, he was gone.
Mm.
And it's because of the whole too many artists at a certain time coming in. We're going to talk about that fully, but I want to go quickly talk about this. Thinking about having quality videos, and when I mean quality videos, I don't just mean videos that look good, because Monsters You Made looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not well done, but like I'm talking about videos that would stand the test of time. Videos that you, I really don't think, this is me, Nelson talking, I really don't think I'm going to watch Monsters You Made video in 10 years and feel the exact thing I want to feel with that song. And we're going to talk about it because the song that we have today that we're talking about sampling, we just watched the video right now about 20-10 minutes ago, and just watching the video alone takes you all the way back, puts you in that shell iconic. Again. You feel like, oh yeah, this is what this video
iconic
was trying. Yeah, this the music and the video, there's this merge in it, and that's why that the Monsters You Made. But moving on from Monsters You Made, so we don't stick around it so much.
Yeah, for real. So that's just that about the pace of the industry is way.
People are like moving in here and there. Everybody
so
has
so you have
dropping.
To secure. I mean, I don't know how to say it. You have to be running at that pace.
Be better with marketing.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
This and then you have a way to keep
be
yourself
better with marketing.
In people's faces. Of course, we look forward to more stuff that's coming. Quick one, just to mention, I'm looking forward to two rap albums.
I think.
Tito Simo's dropping an album. And there's one other person.
I hear SDC is releasing
Clone Wars 5. SDC says before the year runs out.
Clone Wars 5.
That's a strong one.
Ha.
I definitely know they don't want to dumb down.
Yeah, that's the truth.
He has to.
I was really
be at par.
Sincerely,
of these Buhari times or go further.
Sincerely, I was expecting vibes. You know. Not like obviously they said the Palm Wine music is kind of done for now, right?
We're not so sure,
but like I think people were
at least Clone Wars 5 is coming.
There was words around that maybe the Palm Wine music that might be the end of Palm Wine music, but I really do want to see more.
No, that can be end. That can
I really
be
want
end.
To see more of that vibe because trust me, that music is good for the soul. Do you understand? And I don't know. I think like Burna Boy. I don't know why I'm talking about Burna Boy so much today. Burna Boy when he's with SDC, I feel like he's in his full element. Just comes out and kills everything. Do you understand? Like he's just too much for us to handle. Yeah, yes, you're African giant. Calm down.
Burna Boy is solid.
Yeah, so moving on to Skybee. Yeah, we have Skybee sampling Eminem. I'm very sure when you hear Skybee sampling Eminem, first things first, I'm very sure new generation people. When I mean new generation people, I should be part of this.
We are new generation people too.
We are new generation, but like you know, like terms of people that listen
the regular Mayor Kun fan for
instance. Or the like the T Classics.
The average T Classic.
3-4-5 years into listening to proper
it's
music.
It's not likely that they
know who Skybee is.
Eminem and
or
Skybee,
even know who Skybee is.
Or Soti.
I mean these are people that I would call like their best rapper, maybe Young Thug. So like we should understand what we're saying. Yeah. So we're talking about Skybee and Eminem. Skybee was really big. Do you agree?
I don't think so. Let me tell you story of Skybee. Of course I used to buy selections, Alaba selections back then. And I think I bought two back to back at the time and both had Skybee as number one. This particular song.
Yeah.
Skybee was always maybe
is
not
this
always
this particular song.
This particular song.
Pray for me
was
wow.
number one on the selection.
I didn't know Pray for Me until
I'm talking
very
2006.
Much later. No, it starts to be
2007 yeah. But because I always had selections.
But I'm talking me,
but
I didn't know
Alaba selections
later,
then.
Later.
I can remember I had Skybee number one, maybe Soti Malaria number two.
Yeah, African China.
I remember Adaz Zarukume.
Zarukume.
Oh,
yeah.
So my selection, when you buy one and then you exhaust it, you go and buy another one. So back to back, the two I bought had Skybee. So it was like the Alaba
lead
that
song.
This particular
lead
song
was
Pray
obviously
for me.
Making money.
Yeah, and then you know they want to start with the slow, you know.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Song. So yeah, that's just that. Mm. That's how I got to know that song. But in terms of was it so big? I don't know really. I don't know if Skybee was all the way big. We're talking 07.
I think it's because, well, first of all, 07 leading into 08. 08 was a big year for Nigerian hip hop because there were a lot of people coming into, apart from Nigerian hip hop, like Nigerian music. Because 08 we had Konguaso, 08 we had Mr. Incredible, 08 we had, I think 07 going into 08, we had Kenny Big Deal. So we already had songs that were
Dagreen around 08.
Yeah, 08, yeah. Dagreen, let's say 09. You understand? Maybe
are you serious? 08,
09. Maybe for someone like me, I'm talking from my own perspective now. Because I got involved in that, into that sound maybe a little bit late than usual. So people might argue yeah, listen.
I think Dagreen was 08.
Yeah, so
late 08.
Listening to stuff like that, I don't know whether you heard Pray For Me, which you said you heard Pray For Me first. Yeah. Someone like me was, I'm calling. My uncle. Pray for me. Okay.
Yeah, you get it.
Yeah, I get it. So my uncle, a big shout out to my uncle, big man. He listens to a lot of songs and then he was a big Alaba fan. My uncle is one of those guys there that he wanted to be hip. So he would go all the way to, and I was listening to old school that time. I was listening to Atlantic Star, Earth, Wind and Fire. Shout out to my pops for making me, big ups to my pops for making me listen to all these records. Off the Wall, weird stuff. I wasn't listening to stuff that my age range should listen to. But my uncle would, he used to stay with me that time, he would go to Alaba, get records all the time. And I discovered that it was weird, but I didn't hear I'm Calling and Pray For Me a lot on radio. I didn't hear it a lot. The other songs I was hearing a lot on radio were the usual, you know, other Nigerian songs or American songs at that point.
Quick one before you continue. I'm Calling, I can picture or I can remember, I'm not so sure. I'm Calling was perhaps always in this mix, party mix with OJB's Pretete. Soli Baba De here. Soli had one mad party song. So maybe around 08, 09, 10, party jams had I'm Calling, this Sky B, I'm Calling.
This year I'm talking about like late 2000, early 2008 to late 2009. Even at the time when we had, I think people like Terry G were already dropping a couple of songs too.
Free Madness, what year?
No, Free Madness couldn't be 2008, maybe.
Terry G was out before Free Madness, obviously.
I remember there's this song, I think I was, and that's 2000 and Ayepo Gone.
Ubis.
Oh, that song was everywhere. But moving on, I'm talking about, this is the Alaba place I'm talking about. So you listen to stuff like that, and I discovered that I would only hear I'm Calling from my uncle playing CDs, and that's the only place I would hear the song. And it was weird. I think that's the reason why Skybee had the vibe of people loved the guy, but maybe the music wasn't fully accepted.
Yeah,
you know, I think there are a couple of boxes you have to tick. Your music has to be radio friendly, and it wasn't like it wasn't radio friendly, it just didn't get the wave.
And maybe because it came from Port Harcourt, in Lagos,
and that's the thing. And I was going to tell you about this off the record, but I think we're on the record now, so it's cool for us to talk about it. So I was arguing with a couple of friends, and I was telling them that growing up, I thought the artists in Nigeria that were big, they came from two places. If you're not from Lagos, you have to be from the north. And they were like, they argued, no, how can you be from the north? The north, northern guys are not like that. So I'm like, yo, people like Tribesmen, LD from north, East Africa Rim from the north. We had a couple, Caliphate from the north. A lot of people don't know who Caliphate is, like Caliphate people. But
I don't know Caliphate.
But we'll talk about
it. I recently got to see him. Some other recently, time. Maybe some other someone time. Talked about him.
Some other time.
I really don't know.
Yeah, so people like that, those guys were doing quality music. Like quality music that bangs, you know, you hear, you're like, oh, this is solid stuff. Although Tribesmen were the guys that I was tuned into, and I knew people like Idris Abdul-Karim.
Tribesmen had, who were top five at Tribesmen? Who were the five people at Tribesmen?
LDD Don, Too Short,
Sasha P.
Yeah, Too Short, Sasha P. Dr. Seed was up, but Dr. Seed really never did so much.
But how come we ascribe Tribesmen to the north?
Because of LT.
T-shirts is,
I think two of them out of the three, two of them came
from the north, and they were perhaps
original
founders.
Like, you know, the Getty plenty things, we're not supposed, you know, there's three of them on that record. So I think the first two, LD and the other guy, I can't remember his name now, which is weird because I used to be a big fan of Tribesmen, but because of too many musicians listening to them, and I wasn't the biggest fan of Tribesmen, I just love their music.
So I think the argument is valid if people don't agree with you that, I mean, you can't say the biggest the industry is made up of, people who came from two places.
Yeah.
They were the men, the wise men, from the east.
Yeah.
Rugged Man, Nigaro, Two Shots. Maybe they came later.
Yeah, they came later.
But we have seen a wave of people from the east too.
Yeah.
And Lagos.
No, east. North. The east have always done. They have always been okay. I mean, we had east. Okay, we can't call. No, Tupac is not east now. Tupac is middle belt. So we like the middle belt guys and the other guys, the east guys. They have been doing also well.
In a nutshell,
south people. I'm talking about.
In a nutshell, I feel everybody was kicking it low key, and then until we found each other.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised to find out that there is a big hip hop wave in Jos. I'm like,
oh yeah, there is.
That's like a. That, look, who would have thought?
Yeah.
Well, I always thought that Lagos is where the
Lagos back, Unilag
is where this thing happens.
Yeah, Unilag,
not just rap, entertainment, music. So when somebody breaks out of the North, Kaduna or Jos or anywhere, I'm like, yo, what's happening? You guys have a hip hop community, an entertainment community on lockdown, and they say, yeah, we're kicking. And then look at Abuja, for instance, the Alter Movement. Abuja guys, you would think everything is in Lagos, but Abuja guys,
yeah, moving all the vibes.
So I feel people were inspired differently in different places.
But you know, I've said this thing before.
Look at Johnny Drill, the new boys.
Remember, I had this conversation with you at one point when I was telling you about this Alter being like rich music.
Fresh people music.
Yeah, so like that. The reason why we're talking about this is because Sky B. We had a lot of ish about whether he was a major star or just a minor one. And Sky B sampled. I think there should be a drum roll in this part, but we can't say drum. So, drum roll. Sky B sampled, he dared to sample Eminem. Maybe. Stan. I'm going to say this.
I'm sure he had nothing to lose at the time. I mean, it was out there. Let me do my beat.
I'm going to say this.
Nowadays, people can be scared to sample some.
Because you want it to be as good as the record, or maybe even better. Because you're
I don't think that was his intention. I think he had a story he wanted to tell.
Yeah.
It was a personal story.
Yeah.
So maybe that song was a good place to tell the story.
Yeah, I think I read about you at some point. I think it was a sister or something.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Maybe a lover. Maybe
I don't know. I read some.
In terms of telling that story with that song, they did it properly. Yeah. I've not mentioned the song we're talking about.
Yeah, the song we're talking about is Sky B's Pray For Me.
Sampling
Eminem's Stan. Now, when we think about Eminem's Stan, I am thinking about the industry, especially the music industry, and how they accepted Eminem. Eminem has been active for a very long time. Talking about, he has been active since 1988. Didn't have his first record out, or his debut album was Infinite in 1996.
How young was he in 88?
I can't really say.
He was born 72.
Okay, 72, that's 16.
That's
16 years. And 72 to 96, so he was 24 when he released his first album.
Solid.
So that's a lot of learning process going through here and there before learning stuff. And thinking about Eminem hit it with. Eminem was already big because Eminem had already done Forget About Dre at some point. He had a couple of hardcore Slim Shady too. Slim Shady was already out at that point. So Marshall Mathers LP was now the one that became like, you know, Slim Shady was out in 97. Even the Slim Shady LP 1999. I remember my name is Slim Shady.
Solid.
That was solid stuff. And it didn't sound like the usual rap guy because he had like different elements. Eminem would come on an album and do different voices. I remember when you were saying wait,
Stan.
How did Eminem do this?
The last verse on Stan
sounded like Eminem.
Exact Eminem. So I think the motive of the song was to have the alter ego do the three verses, and then Eminem comes to reply.
Do you agree?
Which is like the storytelling rap music.
Do you agree? We don't see a lot of rap records like that anymore.
Of course, the last thing that is close to this in hip hop that I have listened to is J. Cole's For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah.
Four full verses.
Yeah. Nobody does four verses anymore.
You do two. And these are dedicated songs. It's not like you're just, I want to make a song. This is, there's a story.
There's
a story I want to tell. So it doesn't matter. I'm not doing a 2-minute song. I'm doing an 8-minute song to tell the story.
Yeah.
For Your Eyes Only, J. Cole, that's like the one that sounds, I think that comes to mind when you talk about
in terms of emotions, storytelling. Yeah, in emotions. And I think a lot of songs from Kendrick Lamar, Out of Peer Pressure, Shireen,
Sing About Me,
and The Mortal Man from To Pimp a Butterfly. Those are records that sound that same way, that has the same structure. Four verses, four hardcore verses, talking about something in particular, and you are going straight to the point, no dilly dally, no, and then the punchlines to end every verse. And that's why Stan, and you know, Stan is actually a big movement because Stan was released in 2000 under the Marshall Mathers LP.
Okay.
And thinking about it now, Stan is a word we use now. I'm not sure.
Does it mean the same thing?
Yes, it does. The Stan is actually from this Stan.
Hold on a second. The name of the guy in the movie made for the song, is Stanley.
Stanley, and he called him Stan because he had Pierce Love Stan.
How did you? Why did it take so long before we started using Stan as?
It was because
a fan name.
Yeah, one of the things is this. Song,
are you, hold on? Are you double sure that?
I am double
the
sure.
Stan
yeah,
that we are using
yeah,
now came from Eminem.
I
Stan.
Am double sure.
Let's go.
There's this Oxford thing that was released at one point. They are using Stan as this. If you check your dictionaries now, you will see Stan. Is this Stan is a fan that is, you know, too obsessed with it. So yeah, it came from, and it was just from this guy, and that's why I said the song is another level,
has a special place. Now let's unbundle this in two ways. Sky B sampling Stan and Eminem essentially creating a word from telling a story about fandom. Which one should we take first?
I think we should do Eminem.
Let's do the fandom. Let's trash the fandom. Talk. Why are people crazy about artists?
You know, I feel okay.
Michael Jackson performing, people are fainting.
Mm.
P Square is somewhere in Uganda, and babes are fainting.
Yeah.
Why are we attached to these guys?
I think it's because of the connection. Some of these guys' songs, and if you want to check, for example, there are different things you like about people, especially artists, apart from their sound. Olden days, you fell in love with people that had great music, voices that could heal. When I mean heal, I mean proper healing. Like you would be sad and, you know, broken to pieces in your heart, and then you hear a song from somebody
good.
Like, imagine there's one of these songs that we talk about all the time, Silver Shadow by Atlantic Star.
You powerful hear song.
you don't even know what is wrong.
It touches
but,
you differently.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure there are songs that have made people giving their life to Christ.
Yeah, stuff like
just
that.
You just listen and then it touches your soul. In
yeah, it
way.
Just gets to you. And music is very powerful, you know. It's
a
very
powerful
medium. And that's why I feel like we connect. Most of the time, I don't want to sound like I'm very sure by saying stuff like most of the time we are all liking a particular artist, or we are down for an artist because of the song or because of how they sing. Because nowadays, you have people that, you know, physical features. Girls love guys that are buff. You know, well,
but that's a different kind of fandom. There's crush, there's like fantasy, and there is crazy fandom.
Yeah,
like crazy. Like Erica, like Lekon, like Tata,
blah blah blah. I mean,
but
inexplicable.
That's on another level.
Yeah,
but when people like people, they just want to show love. I mean, people are donating money.
Yeah,
just because you feel attached to this person. That's that on fandom. Let's, because of time, get back to Sky B. Of course, it was Godful. Let me do this cover. We call it a cover now. Right?
Yeah.
Cover, he rapped his own verses on Eminem's stand, retaining Dido's chorus.
Yeah, with somebody doing it.
Sam,
that didn't do it very well.
I'm sorry.
I need to say this.
Hold on.
I don't even know who she is.
Hold on. She's a backup.
Please, someone else. To hold on. He doesn't want me to say what I want to say, but okay.
Someone else did Dido's verse, Dido's chorus on that song on Sky B. Sky B essentially rapping two or three verses talking about this person he had lost.
Three, actually.
The times they
verses.
Spent together.
Yeah.
Did he do justice to that song in any way?
Let me... See,
sigh.
You know, we had this conversation before, and I said, I don't know whether I should be completely brutal, but I'll just be honest. I feel like message passed across.
Yeah.
Did okay. Very good. You understand. That. Pray for me. I can't wait to see you again. So, perfectly done. But in terms of execution and the kind of song, it was like he beat off. Stan is like an iconic song. Stan is top 2 Eminem's best song ever.
Top 5.
Top 2. I don't know about you. Top two.
There is Lose Yourself. There is Mockingbird.
I love Lose Yourself, but I think Stan. I would call Stan my number one, but I don't want to be because
I'm just say top four, top three,
top five. Let's end it there. Top five. Top five Eminem song, and that song had like lots of meaning to it, and I feel that's why it was perfect for Skybee to take it and do his own Pray For Me. Probably not the most quality, you know, sound, but like in terms of from, I feel it's because of the emotion that drives that song. When you hear Dido's verse or Dido's chorus on that song, there's this emotion like, oh wow, this is a beautiful sound, and this is okay, very emotional. And then he took that idea. I think it was a very, very smart move, very creative move, and I love that. So I don't want to give it a score, because if I want to give it a score,
But message passed. Like message passed across. Message passed across. We saw that indeed he was hurt. He was trying to, you know, make a tribute to someone, and I think that was, if anything, he was able to tell Nigerians, tell the world that with true music, he was able to share his emotions, and you know, people listen. Everybody, it was pretty much a household song. Maybe not a household, but
a couple of a lot of people heard
the song, and they, you know, they were aware that
that song came.
That song is like top five, obviously top three in his discography, in his biggest songs. Top,
I think it should be number one, because it has to be for real. Looking at it, it has to be. Calling is probably more out there.
Yeah, more of a dance
song.
Is
like. The song
that's the face of Skybee.
Face of Skybee, and it's understandable because that was the name of the album. That was the song that led the album. Seven-track album. There's allegations or assumptions that album sold a million copies. Yeah. But people don't accept it. But the thing is, we know a lot of people sold.
It could have been because there is the argument that sometimes album. It's even more. Nigerians. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in Ifeanyi Ekiti.
And to Ekiti,
when
Ekiti
there was a time I visited Lagos, that was the first time I heard that Green's Pom 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 on radio. Around the same time, Diamonds by Sosuke dropped.
Yeah,
it was premiered on radio. I listened and I like, this is hip hop.
Yeah.
Sosuke, Sambo, Ibobo, and I heard a new song. I left Lagos, went back to Ekiti. When African American the debut dropped, it was on the streets. What am I saying? Alaba is like a distribution. Like before digital distribution came, Alaba would make sure that this song gets to every corner. So when African American the debut, because of Diamonds, because there was no way I could download. It was, I think we had a Primini at that time, these Sargem phones. But I wanted to listen to Diamonds by Soski, and I was a fan. As soon as I saw that African American the debut came out, there's this place where we buy CDs, 150 per one. When Yahuze came, I went there. When Busybody came, I went there. Yahuze. So what am I trying to say is, if Alaba people can distribute from Lungu to Lungu, corner to corner, community to community, then we can be talking 1 million copies. But of course, we don't have good data collection. We cannot really tell. But in Nigeria, they are distributing to the north, to all the states in Nigeria.
It was everywhere.
You could do those numbers.
There are a couple of
artists. And there were of course, when Olu Maintained, Yahuze came out, he said the same thing. 1 million, over 1 million, maybe in the first week or over 1 million copies sold, blah blah blah. So I think it was common around that time to brag about
a million records sold.
So.
Yeah, and that's really cool, because when you think about it, I know a couple of artists that actually, when they did interviews and they were talking about Skybee, they said stuff like, "Ah, man, if you had gone to the, as at that time when Skybee was raving, was everywhere, you would go to the north, go to the south, go to the east, go to the west, and you would still hear records from Skybee." And I'm like, wow, this is really,
especially that dance song.
Yeah,
I'm calling it was
everywhere.
Let's play the two songs. We'll play Eminem first, right?
Yeah, Eminem first, Eminem first. Then we play Skybee, Pray For Me.
But you still ain't calling. I left my cell, my pager, and my home phone at the bottom. I sent two letters back in autumn. You must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Sometimes I scribble addresses too sloppy when I jot them. But anyways, fuck it. What's been up, man? How's your daughter? My girlfriend's pregnant too. I'm about to be a father. If I have a daughter, guess what I'ma call her? I'ma name her Bonnie. I read about your Uncle Ronnie too, I'm sorry. I had a friend kill himself over some bitch who didn't want him. I know you probably hear this every day, but I'm your biggest fan. I even got the underground shit that you did with Scam. I got a room full of your posters and your pictures, man. I like the shit you did with Rockets too, that shit was fat. Anyways, I hope you get this, man. Hit me back, just a chat. Truly yours, your biggest fan, this is Stan. Still ain't call the road, I hope you have a chance. I ain't mad, I just think it's fucked up you don't answer fans. If you didn't wanna talk to me outside the concert, you didn't have to. But you could've signed an autograph for Matthew. That's my little brother, man, he's only 6 years old. We waited in the blistering cold for you 4 hours and you just said no. That's pretty shitty, man, you're like his fucking idol. He wants to be just like you, man, he likes you more than I do. I ain't that mad though, I just don't like being lied to. Remember when we met in Denver? You said if I write you, you would write back. See, I'm just like you in a way. I never knew my father neither. He used to always cheat on my mom and beat her. I can relate to what you're saying in your songs. So when I have a shitty day, I drift away and put them on. Cause I don't really got shit else, so that shit helps when I'm depressed. I even got a tattoo with your name across the chest. Sometimes I even cut myself to see how much it bleeds. It's like adrenaline, the pain is such a sudden rush for me. See, everything you say is real, and I respect you cause you tell it. My girlfriend's jealous cause I talk about you 24/7. But she don't know you like I know you, Slim, no one does. She don't know what it was like for people like us growing up. You gotta call me, man, I'll be the biggest fan you'll ever lose. Sincerely yours, Stan. P.S. We should be together too.
Pray for you each and every night. I cry for you. How I wish that you were here with me. Stay with me, smile with me. Baby, you know that I love you so. But one day we all have to go. I believe that heaven is cold. Tell me why, mommy, why you have to go. If money can buy you, then I will sell my gold. My love is dead, my son is cold. My heart is heavy, my blood is hot. My eyes are wet, the trust is gone. After the rains comes the sun. In the morning I will pray for you, cry for you, smile for you. And the evening I will cry for you and hold you tight and stay with you. And God know that I will be with you.
It's so cold, I wonder why.
I keep the memories of you and me. Then in your heart I know that you still miss me. Why me, see me, why me, oh Lord, tell me why. I wanna know, why me. The days we had, the night we spent, will never die as long as I live in this earth. The love you gave and the kiss you gave to today, baby, I'm not gonna lie, you still exist. Honey, please, clean your tears. Your little boy is doing so good here in this earth.
All right, you're back to the Sample Access Podcast. You just listened to Eminem's Stan, amazing record, by the way, and Skybee's Pray For Me. All right, so we are back again, and this time I'm moving on to the next pair that we're going to be talking about. This one, in fact, is a different kind of sampling.
New generation.
I don't think we've ever done this before, talking about, because most of the sample we do is mostly like, it's very obvious.
Yeah.
Sometimes, at least you'll be able to tell this is it or this is that. But this one is well done.
There was a particular episode of Tiny Sampling that we were about to do that we didn't do eventually
because it was too, small.
Too minimal.
Yeah,
people
too small.
Might not get it, so we had to dump that. But this is production sampling, just a tiny bit of one beat we used in a different beat. How many years apart? Maybe 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years apart. And the amazing thing is, it was a new stuff that we heard about the... the song that was sampled.
Yeah.
So we'll just get into it immediately so that we can actually talk proper on these songs before we move on. The songs we're talking about are Just The Way You Are and T-Classic's Where You Did. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
The first time I heard it, I didn't know it was a sample.
I knew from the first listen. But I just knew where it came from. That's like the only... And they call something a moat, M-O-A-T.
Yeah.
Like when there are a million songs out there.
Oh, okay.
Or 1,000 songs out there.
Yeah.
One thing separates yours. So if I'm going to select a song in that genre of music that T-Classic does, maybe I just wanted to listen to anything in that class of music, I would easily remember Where You Did because it reminds me of Bruno Mars.
Oh yeah,
Just The Way You Are.
I have a couple of stories about Bruno Mars, that album, Doo-Wops and Hooligans. Doo-Wops sounds like Doo-Wop.
What year was this? 2012?
2010. You mean Doo-Wop? You know Doo-Wop now?
Doo-Wop by Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill. So it sounds like it, but I don't think there's any connection whatsoever because I never saw anything had like connection or anything like seen. There are no similarities whatsoever.
Do people trademark names of a song,
album, or a song? I really don't think anybody does that anymore.
Yeah,
even if they used to, I don't think they do anymore, and I don't think they ever did because I've never had to see anything that had to do with.
But what about movies? Can you repeat the same title?
They do that all the time. It's just but you wouldn't want
so
to.
Nobody owns
especially when the movie is like really big. Imagine
what
movie
I'm saying
like,
is remaking a different movie.
Yeah, and having the same title. Name. People do that, but they don't do that, you know. They try to not
yeah,
date.
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that you don't need to be told.
You have to double check.
It's like, say, for example, maybe you want to do a movie like Game of Thrones. Not smart. Nigerians do it all the time. Nigerians have their own Game of Thrones. They have Snake in the Shadow.
That's funny.
I mean, we do everything like in our own way. Talking about T-Classic, very good song. I think it should be one of his biggest so far.
Maybe top five, but we all know the biggest. Nobody Fine Past You.
Nobody Fine.
It's a smash.
Nobody Fine Past You. I think one reason why I like Nobody Fine Past You, apart from that fact that the song is a very good song, was because I heard it everywhere.
Yeah, it was everywhere. I think there was
everywhere.
A time, the year it was big.
Last year.
There was a beauty pageant or any beauty competition everywhere. T-Classic should be the go-to guy to come.
Yeah, Nobody Fine. But yeah. I think big ups to all the guys that did skits. I don't know if that was a marketing strategy. I don't know if they had.
It was a challenge something.
I don't know if it was a challenge, but I don't know if it was a strategy. That was very smart because I think that was the first time they were actually using that platform to push music, like push it with much effort. Because thinking about it, man. Nobody Fine Past You was everywhere. Sydney Tucker was dancing to it. Oluwadola's coming up at that time. And yeah, I know he has been here for a while, but like, as at that time, it was already becoming really big. Like, a lot of fan base. People like Craze Clown. Everybody was just on it. Like, Nobody Fine Past You, Nobody Fine Past You. And it was actually a good record. That's something I feel. I feel if you have a quality record, all you need is just more marketing.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this thing like ASAP because I just remembered it. It's just one of those funny facts that I just remembered. Rihanna's Man Down.
Yeah.
I heard that they used I don't want to say a lot of numbers. They used $1 million+ to market that song.
To market one song?
Just one song.
So what would be the gain? How do you calculate ROI?
I don't even know.
We are ready to go all the way.
But for them to put $1 million, I heard production alone was $750,000.
I mean, you were talking numbers.
We probably can't talk about this later.
Maybe for a different episode.
Maybe,
because
yeah.
Sometimes I worry too. You're talking Rihanna, but I look at upcoming artists.
And Rihanna's at that point, when we did Man Down, Man Down is 2010. Man Down, Rihanna in 2010. She was already
solid.
So yeah, but moving on, so that's what I said.
I just wanted to chip in. You talked about marketing and monies, and I look at artists, young artists or B-list artists making an album. It costs a lot.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't realize that until recently. Is it the way the industry should be? Is it normal?
Man, it's normal. You're not making,
because sometimes
especially
to pay for a beat, I don't know what the rates are, but of course there are beats that go for 300k or more.
Yeah, sometimes you get the beat for free.
Yeah,
the music industry.
I'm saying business wise, in the real business terms, you don't. I mean, what's the budget for a song, for instance? What should be the average budget for one song, depending on what level you are there?
That's the thing. I think it varies differently. For example, people that have in-house producers, they don't talk money till later.
Yeah,
you understand? Like,
so you make the
they
music
don't talk
first.
Money till later. I mean, there are a couple of songs that are in hard drives, especially for the big artists. Songs that might never see the light of day, You understand? Like, I remember one
because of negotiation.
Yeah, I remember one time somebody said, okay, Burna Boy has like over 100 songs that he has that he would not release. Maybe except he's vibing one day, just like, you know what, I'm going to release the 20 track.
These 100 songs are not done. That maybe they
probably
need
almost
to be,
done.
Yeah, almost
but,
done.
I mean, they would have beats. They would have beats which you have to pay the beat maker. Do you understand? Which are the producers now?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I think one of this episode we're going to talk about how the producer vibe has changed. Because for someone like me from the 80s, producers mean a whole lot different thing than what producers now are. Yeah. Like,
producers are beat makers now.
Producers are now. So like, we don't have that differently. When I talk about Leon Silvers III or Quincy Jones, I'm not talking of them in the same light as Don Jazzy or T.Y. Mix or something. Did you get? So there's a lot of difference. But looking at this song, talking about T Classics, Where You Dey, Big Jam Everywhere, and the way it was, the way the sample was, sampling was done, I think it's done in a way that it can actually go, it could go with it and not
pay.
Of
course, you I think it's obvious enough if anybody wants to go ahead and ask for royalties.
Yeah.
But the difference, like we always say, is if you're in Nigeria and Bruno Mars is up there,
Are the chances?
Bruno Mars might not just, I mean, a lot of American artists might not find it, except because we're on digital streaming platforms now. Except because, and the technology
gets, except the bite is too much.
And the technology gets bigger every day, it gets smarter every day. If tomorrow DSPs start checking, what did you sample? We don't want you to put it here. Even though it's more money for Bruno Mars, but Bruno Mars agency or publishers might just say, if you're sampling any of our artists, at least acknowledge.
Yeah.
At least let us know. I don't know. Of course, I believe they something must have been done, or maybe not, or there would have been a way around this, because T Classic is signed to a major.
Currently. It's the current thing. So, although it was part of his EP, T Classic released an EP this year, February 23rd, 2020, called Underrated EP.
Yeah.
The beat was actually produced by Iron Beats. I don't know so much about him yet.
I've seen him produce a lot of recent songs.
Oh, okay. I don't.
In fact, a big artist. So
oh wow! He's
one of the reigning guys right now. Oh, I can't really say if he's top 20 or top.
Oh, okay, but
top
I don't really know him that well. But he did like most of the songs on this Underrated, and from Where You Dey alone, that's what you call quality
that's
production.
Afrobeat, yeah.
Yeah, and that's quality production, because listening to it and taking off like a pop song, because just the way you are is a pop song, and then you are redoing it the Nigerian way and it's sounding really like a classic already. Yeah. So it's like one of those songs. Let me take back the word classic. Let me not say classic, but like an okay song that we could listen to 2-3 years from now and be like, it was all right.
And it features Peruzzi and Mayoku.
Yeah, so I mean, like Mayoku on any song.
Actually, Peruzzi smoked both of them on.
I know. His voice is distinct and very cool.
I can't say smoke, but for me, it was the thing.
Well, I think Mayoku is actually doing very okay in terms of like having the records out and all that.
Yeah, Mayoku is said to be like the
top Nigerian artist
for the year 2020.
Oh yeah, I told you. Oh yeah,
people argued that. I think it was you a few other people have said that Mayoku is like the guy for 2020.
Yeah, but I need to say something now. I want to take it back because of my recent trip. Duduka is the biggest song of 2020.
I mean, I said it.
Yes, I agree now.
Agree
the reason
now.
Why is because I recently traveled down to Ekiti State in Nigeria, and I went to some parts. I went to like the deepest parts. I just took a stroll down there. When
you were arguing with me about it, okay?
I take it back. I'm sorry. I take it back.
No, it's okay. But I think what made me say that, the day it was announced that Simi had put to bed,
yeah,
I think I listened to like 5 different radio stations on that day.
Yo, I saw an old woman. And when I mean old woman, I'm talking.
Duduka was on radio. Like flip flop, you move from here to here. So, and it's easy to tell because this is a popular story.
Yeah,
I go to Duduke YouTube comment section. Please go and see people from Fiji Islands.
I say
from Papua New Guinea.
I see
people from South Africa.
I saw
people are praying. Someone in Duduke's comment section says she was planning to abort, but because of the song, she wasn't going to abort. So when we talk about having a child, singing a love song to your child, that's bigger than almost anything anybody sang about. So of course popularity is there, but go to any lungu, go to any corner, especially in Yoruba parlance. I really can't tell if it's big in the east. I expect it to be. I don't know if it's that big in the north, but in our Yoruba states, where people can understand, where people can identify with, you know, you don't even have to be able to tell the language.
Yeah.
You see, there's a pregnant woman praying for a child, you're easily attached to that vibe.
Yeah, and that's why I said the reason why I was stunned was because I saw a couple of people singing it. It was actually everywhere in Edith, even at this point.
Mm.
And then I went to somewhere, a close-up farm, and a farm that's in, you know, houses and farm, and just around. And then I saw this 60-year-old woman.
Wow.
I've never been this wild before. Now, she wasn't singing off the top of her head. No.
Wow.
She heard the song. Obviously, she didn't know how to sing the whole, like, the whole verses. Stuff. But when it got to...
Did you care?
You need to see...
The joy.
How, yeah. There was this, you know, joy. She
it's
was
a beautiful
she
song.
Was really,
I just randomly go...
She was really dancing.
To YouTube. I just watch it. I'm like, yo, this is...
I'm like, whoa. I also, I'm like, no. I need to
it's
tell...
Like,
I
it's like one of those songs. One of... I think we talk about special songs.
Yeah.
The way we talk about Atlantic Star,
Silver Shadow. Yes.
I would put, not of course not in the same category, but what music does to me.
To you,
it's like Beat It, Michael Jackson for me. There's a way a song
Speechless
touches you, talks to you, and then
and off
I mean,
the wall for me too.
I can imagine my wife, my future wife.
Ah, Madu.
Let's move on.
Madu. All right, so yeah, just the way you are. That's one reason why we're talking about Dudu K and talking about how powerful his song is. It's because we're leading down to Just The Way You Are. Just The Way You Are is over 10 years now, still selling records.
Is that the first song that brought out Bruno Mars?
No, Nothing On You. Beautiful girls.
Oh, Travis.
All over the world.
I always say Travis Scott, but...
B.O.B.
No, there's a song, Billionaire, by Travis who?
Yeah, Travis Scott.
Not Travis Scott. One Travis like
Travis
that.
Travis McCoy.
Billionaire, which one came out first?
I heard Billionaire first.
But what was Bruno Mars' breakout song?
Nothing On You.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing
B.O.B.
On You.
B.O.B. was the shit that
Nothing On You was heavy.
B.O.B. had Airplanes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. He had this song.
B.O.B. was around for five, six years.
Don't Let Me Fall. I mean,
5-6 years.
I don't know why he's
still around today. It's just
it was supposed to be
much.
The next. But
yeah,
it was just
because his kind of rap was different. But don't let us dwell on B.O.B. too much.
Yeah.
Talking about Bruno Mars, Just The Way You Are. That's why we're talking about Dudu K. The reason why Dudu K is a big song, Atlantic Star is a big song. Just The Way You Are is about 10 years, and it's still one of those songs that, you know, you can sing to your baby. And she'll be like, "Yo, do you love me this much?"
But it's. Isn't it a heartbreak song?
Oh, I love it just the way you are.
I'm mixing it with
Grenade.
Where you did?
Yeah. That's where you did. It's a different
so,
word.
Just The Way You Are.
Just The Way
powerful
You Are.
Song,
yeah, powerful song.
Straight message.
Straight message. And yeah, that's the thing. He actually said when he was thinking about the song.
Do you remember the video?
Yeah, I remember the video when he got the tapes and everything and the thing was turning
artistic
up. Yeah, and he said something about the song. He said when he was thinking about writing this song, he just he wanted something straight to the point because he had listened to a couple of songs that were straight to the point and he loved them, and he wanted to just listen and just play this song, and people actually vibe. He actually said the first time they released the song didn't do so well, which is weird, just the way you are. But
and then
I mean, songs
better.
Are like that. But what happened was he said he continued doing tours. They still went on to text people around, tell people about the song. And they did heavy marketing, which also takes us back to the
marketing.
First thing we're talking about, marketing.
Pushing
it. Even if a song is great, sometimes
you have to push it.
Man Down is a classic.
Now,
Man Down is a classic.
Fierce by Lekon. It was a big song, but it was underground.
Yes.
Nobody knew until BBN.
I really don't think we use the word underground too much for it. Fierce was released April 2020.
Yeah.
That's
it's
not
nobody
five
knew.
Months. Not 5 months. I'm talking
From
about
April
songs that people had
July.
To do. I'm talking about songs that people had to do thorough moves.
Yeah,
you should understand what I'm talking about.
I get it now.
Now, thinking about it, like, I'm not disputing the fact that he was actually on the ground. I'm just saying he wasn't a big star. So obviously, he wasn't going to do as much.
Something about, like, they talk about top 40 music and songs in the US, that there is a politics of top 40 as well.
Yes.
You have to, your label has to be in touch with the right industry guys.
Yes.
For your song to do that.
Yes,
way.
I mean, you have songs like there are some songs that when you are watching the top 40 in the US, you are annoyed because you're like,
how did you make it?
What's this? Well, it's because of the right connections, which is marketing coming into play.
I would like us to talk about Bruno Mars' discography.
Yeah,
I mean, Baba has songs.
Ah, no,
jams.
No
hits for
Do Wolves and Hooligans apparently became sold 13 million records and still selling actually. Over 10 years and still selling. And hits like Grenade, Just The Way You Are, came off that album. And Bruno Mars has evolved.
Some of the hits, the Lazy Song.
Yeah, from that album as well.
The Man That You Should Be, or I want to be the man that you. I don't know. One love song like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but then you see Bruno Mars. Looking at Bruno Mars right now, this discography. Bruno Mars has evolved, as I said earlier. Bruno Mars has moved from Grenade, Nothing On You. Let me do it like this. Bruno Mars has moved from Nothing On You, Billionaire, to Grenade, to Just The Way You Are, to 24 Magic.
Yeah, nah.
To totally. Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
What am I saying? No, before Uptown Funk, he had Finesse.
Yeah.
You know? And till date.
And he's a solid performer.
Oh, I was about to say that.
No, performance is a different level. He performs like this energy.
Yeah.
The choreography is solid.
He reminds me of somebody which I don't know, people don't put a lot of eyes on him. I'm talking about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. I don't know whether you know them. Yeah, Fish Shop. I'm gonna get something.
How?
$20 in my. He won the Grammys that year that cost a
week. I really don't know Macklemore, but how does it fit in the same picture?
Macklemore, in terms of performances for a rapper, yeah, Macklemore's performances are over the roof.
Wow.
You see Macklemore perform. You could check it out on YouTube.
Whoa.
Macklemore doesn't play.
But is it that advanced or is it that old in
he's big oh he's big he's been here for over he's over 8 years now, so close to a decade. So yeah, Trip Shop, I remember when Trip Shop came out. Trip Shop was weird, so we'll have to talk about that some other time. And you know, but then moving on, I'm putting him in the same level, not in the same level, but like one of those artists, and they are both small. Like in terms of
now, Bruno Mars as a singer, as a vocalist, dropping choruses for hip hop guys like he did for Lil Wayne on Mirror.
Yeah.
Like he did for
Bruno Mars, B.O.B. or Nothing On You.
Like he did for Eminem and who now? Eminem and Royce the 5'9 on Lighters.
Oh yeah, yeah.
One of the biggest.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he does a lot of vocals for in that class of R&B artists. Who are his contemporaries?
Dropping choruses. We actually don't have a lot of them now, do we?
In that class.
Thinking about it.
Because at some point...
I know at one point, Justin Timberlake used to do it.
I know there was one time ago, long time ago, I'm not so conversant, Nate Dogg.
Yeah, Nate Dogg.
There was Akon in another generation doing choruses.
Nate Dogg is another level.
There is John Legend doing choruses, but who then is in this guy's class, even if they are females?
Bruno Mars' level. That's the thing. Hip-hop artists don't have a lot of... You have a stereotype person they use for songs. Mm. But someone like Bruno Mars has broken that, you know, chain or level. Justin Timberlake at one point used to jump on people's records, you know, do stuff for... Jay-Z, do stuff for Timbaland and all that. So,
50 Cent on AOT.
Yeah. So all those stuff like that. Where you did? Do you think this classic is going to be one of those guys in the future? Put in that level of... doing, you know, we're talking about doing hooks for rappers, and we felt like maybe rappers somewhere like MI.
Nigeria is not in that play. We're not doing that.
There was a time just really down.
There was a time,
no hope for us. You just really down Nigeria. I didn't like that.
There was a time I had this sick record in my head, you know, when you're just planning as an unappointed producer, you're planning that I wish Corey Debido would do a sick chorus for Fouls and Vector.
You thought about Corey Debido doing a sick chorus
and it never happened. The type of songs that I'm so paid by Akon and Lil Wayne, Young Jeezy. Those are the kind of songs that I imagine for Nigerian hip-hop.
It just reminded me of a song.
But then,
we taking over.
It never happens. If they are ever going to do a song, they dumb down. Bullion Van.
Yeah.
Runtown, Fino, MI, Storm Rex. They do a dance song. I want to see, even though maybe it's not in Nigeria,
like do the hardcore.
Do the hardcore and then let's have an R&B guy like,
you know, I'm proposing something.
Like
I don't know what else is gonna happen. Anybody
let them do some sickness.
Let's start them hashtag Fireboy MI Vector.
Well, that would be solid.
That sounds like something
that could, but then you say there's no fight between. Okay, they have finished fight. MI and Vector has finished.
It's a proposal.
But yeah, it could
jump
happen.
On a record.
But back to your question on
T-Classic. Do you think T-Classic would be in that?
Yeah, it's an equation already. He has hits on TV, on radio. He's performing.
Now, do you think vocally or creatively he would be able to fit into that setting of? Because sometimes you need hip hop artists need something to take them commercial. I mean, there are a couple of records that we rap to, hardcore raps, but we are rapping to those records because of the chorus. I can think of a couple of them in my head. Okay, Dilemma is now hardcore. But let's go back to the two parts. You know, on Born Child because of the chorus.
But I really don't think he is cut out for that. I think.
Oh right, you think so?
I'm trying to
level him. I'm not putting him. I'm trying to level him up with Bruno Mars.
Yeah, they're not in the same. It's just, you know, T Classic is not the proponent of the production sample.
Oh yeah, that's true. So yeah, he just
I don't think
just
he wants to do that. I think he wants to do Afrobeats and Excel.
Yeah.
Put him in the Fireboy conversation. Put him in the Joe Boy conversation. Oxley, yes, is doing very amazing. All of them are doing well. So they are doing very well. So yeah. But to do that, nah. I just want to see, and I, the fact that his songs are popular, everybody's winning. So
yeah,
no, but nothing's stopping. But to be on songs with hip hop guys and be the chorus, I don't think Nigeria is caught up. We're not in that. Everybody wants to do a dance.
Man, this has really been an amazing one. We could actually stay here and just talk all day, but we are strict to time.
We should get out.
Yeah, we need to get out. But we want to talk about production credits, so we'll just go real fast on them. Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are, was produced by Bruno Mars, Ari Levine, Philip Lawrence, and Needles. The song came off the album Do Whoops and Hooligans from the year 2010. T Classics, where you did produce that, I Am Beats, yeah, 2020, 10 years difference. Album, underrated EP, released under Sony Music Entertainment West Africa.
Yeah.
Eminem Stan featuring Dido was actually produced by Eminem and the 45th King. That's Mike, I think Mike Dice or something. I used to know his name very well.
Not Mike Dean.
No, not Mike Dean though. Mike Dice or something. Yeah, 2000, the album, the Marshall Mathers LP, and then the Skybee. Pray for me. I have a feeling that producers on this was Skybee and his team. And that's what we're going to call it. Yeah, 2007 from the album Pray for Me. Right now, we're going to play for you Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are, and then T Classics, Where You Did, so that you can listen to the sampling and what was done.
Episode 8 is done. We'll see you next time. Follow us on social media, Buyega_Adeoye on Twitter. Follow my LinkedIn too, yes.
Okay.
Buyega Adeoye, search and follow. Share with your friends too.
All right, mine is at Twitter, I have NWAENIE capital N, and on Instagram, NWAENIE.Nelson. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We out.
She said she don't G. I tell her, stand by me, oh, hold me strong, I'm getting weak. As you know, comfort you, eh. I'm Lou, cause you there with another man. Baby, don't waste no time, love. Story up, don't play, love. I dance.